We'd like to welcome you to the Heart Leader Podcast, where heart and mind align. I'm your host, Amber, and I'm here with co-host Austin, and we'd like to know, do you have a passion to make a greater global impact? Are you ready to embrace leading with heart and love? If so, join us on this journey to become heart leaders who change the world. Each episode brings heart-centered connection, building stronger relationships, communities, and businesses. Let's take a deeper dive into what it means to be heart leaders. The Heart Leader Podcast starts now. Hi, and welcome to the Heart Leader Podcast, where heart and mind align. I am your host, Amber, and I am here with co-host Austin to kick off a new month and a new topic. We are diving into the heart leader attribute of communication and how to effectively communicate across so many aspects of our life, because we do interact with each other across so many different facets and caveats, from romantic partnerships and relationships to the workplace and business to our families. And so we really want to kind of explore how we can communicate effectively across all of those avenues as heart leaders. And since Austin and I are in a romantic partnership and in a business partnership in a way, we were going to kick it off this month by talking about how we reached a place of effective communication in our relationship across those facets that we share. And my background in study actually is in interpersonal and organizational communication from a bachelor's degree standpoint. Now, I went on and dove into science and all kinds of fun sciencey stuff, but I started with communication because I figured if I could talk to people or communicate effectively with my body language and the way that I desire to express myself, then that would give me the foundation. So a lot of what you're going to hear through these next discussions throughout the month come from what I really gained in my studies in that degree process. So I'm going to share with you some of the tips and tricks and things that I gained along the way, as well as all of these amazing people that we're going to be talking to. So diving in right away, Austin, I know we have had many years together at this point, and over those many years, we've honed some communication approaches that fit for us. But it's not like we just from day one knew how to communicate with each other.
Yes.
Yes. So what would you walk in offering was kind of the turning point for us in that communication flow? Because the way I communicated was very different than the way that you came in communicating.
Absolutely. I think for me, it was, in a somewhat of a unique situation. Growing up as an only child, I did not have brothers and sisters to constantly talk with. So I think that is something maybe for only children, especially when coming into a relationship, it's like, oh yeah, there's other people around, you know.
It's not just me.
Yeah, so I definitely, would succumb to my only child moments for a while, and it took some time to recognize that you don't just know what I'm thinking, or that hey, it makes sense to share what I'm doing or what's going on or what I'm thinking or going through, just things I wasn't used to, just growing up. Again, as an only child, that's just a lot of it was, I would say for me, very internal. So I was kind of used to, whether it was studying on my own or working on my own, if I needed to do something, I needed to do it. I didn't have brothers and sisters to help me with the chores or help me, anything like that. It was always kind of me, right? I was grateful because I had amazing parents, and I would talk with them, but that's a different style of relationship, right? And so, yeah, it was really just kind of getting out of my own way. I would say was probably one of the first big areas of improvement for me, so I could effectively communicate what I'm thinking and feeling to someone else, and that they don't just automatically know it, but I actually have to take that time to do that.
Yeah. I know one of the first real outside of the only child, but I think it played into the only child was body language and what that was conveying versus what you actually meant. And we talked about that a lot because the words that were coming out of your mouth were not necessarily what was cueing to me that you authentically meant. And it didn't necessarily mean that your intention wasn't that,
Sure.
but because you hadn't had the opportunity to practice body awareness and what your body was communicating and like nonverbal skills, that's the bulk of communication. So if I'm sitting here going, I'm not mad at you, that's not telling me that you're not really mad at me, right? Even if you're not mad at me, your words might be saying you're not mad at me, and maybe inside you're not really mad at me, but there's something that has you frustrated. But your tone, your body language, everything else would have me feeling like, okay, but you're saying you're not mad at me, but everything else has me feeling like you're mad at me. I don't know which one to believe here, but I'm going to believe that you're mad at me and you're just being nice and telling me that you're not mad at me, or you don't want to share because you don't desire to rock the boat. So I'm going to believe that you're mad at me and you're just not being honest with me. And so we had to find ways to start breaking through that barrier of what the body language was communicating versus what words were communicating. Can you share what that process was like for you?
Eye-opening, which is a funny thing to say because, most of the time, I'm not seeing my body language, right? So just the idea of that, and it was just like the awareness, like being aware, like outside of myself. A lot of people, when they grow up with siblings, for example, they're getting real-time feedback on a regular basis because even though maybe the parents are working or something like that, but the kids might just be at home. You're always around your parent and your siblings. I'm assuming. I feel like that's a fair assessment to some degree, especially
Yes.
younger, right? Growing up and all that.
I grew up with two brothers and they never hesitated to call me out on everything I
Everything, right?
did. Everything.
Yes. So, my imaginary friends were very kind and didn't share that kind of information with me, and were very nice. And so, yeah, it was just being aware. I didn't when if I was studying by myself or, golfing by myself or anything like that, I didn't have to worry about those things because when I was thinking about things or flowing through things, I wasn't worried about what my body language was because it was just me, right? Or if I was doing chores, if I was frustrated, no one saw it. It's just that. It was just whatever it was. I didn't really have the accountability in that sense. I didn't have the feedback, which a lot of people get, that kind of that immediate and both verbal and physical feedback. So like if I'm providing a body language, with when I'm seeing you, I can see your response. And it's like, oh yeah, no, that's different. Then so it's like that's an immediate feedback, both physically, verbally, emotionally. I can get the full picture. And so I think that was being around someone because I just had never really had a long-term relationship. I never, you know, this is when I started businesses. It was I was doing a lot of the work. A lot of the time, I was used to being on my own, and so it was just a different flow. You know, I love being around you, and it's so much fun, and we have a great time together. But that was just a new way of being for me, was to have someone around that, you know, it wasn't a lack of trust, it wasn't a lack of belief, it wasn't even you know, only, I mean, if there's anything, it was the opposite. You're one of the first people I could really believe in and trust and have confidence in to achieve or accomplish or do anything that we were doing, whether it's business or relationship or anything like that. But it was just handing that off. That was a unique experience, being outside of myself and honestly, in many ways, letting someone else in.
Yeah. And there was a lot of communication that went into that. You know, we talked before about you have to lead with trust in another podcast. And that was where we began. We had to, in many ways, come at this with, okay, we're starting by trusting one another, but then we had to build on that with talking to each other about what we were feeling all of the time. And we talked, like, we can't over communicate.
Yeah, unless we overthink, but that's a different thing.
Yes, we won't share.
You know, it's a good thing because, you know, I did there's a point where I desired so much because I was on one side, right? I was on one side, not really sharing. And then I wanted to go on, you know, I hadn't found the Goldilocks area yet, if you
Not
will.
too hot, not too
Yeah,
cold,
not too hot,
just
not too cold.
right.
So I hadn't figured it out yet. So I think my natural instinct was to kind of not over communicate, but overthink the communication. And I didn't know the differentiation between those two things. And so I was either adding too much detail I was almost saying exactly what I was thinking, but just because I understand it, I wasn't taking responsibility of whether you or someone else would understand. Because I have a train of thought and I may be able to follow it, but that doesn't automatically mean that's how everyone else thinks. That's how everyone else processes. No, I'm not. That's it's easy to get into our own flow, like, oh yeah, everyone else approaches the world exactly like I do, you know.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, you must. And so it was a good way to kind of create that separation in that overthinking and over communicating aren't the same thing. And you're right, there isn't, when you have effective communication, there is no such thing as over communicating, because all you're doing is providing more and more clarity around where we're at, what we're thinking, what we're feeling, how we're acting, what we're going to do, what we have done, all of that. It all allows for a sense of intimacy in all aspects of who we are. It's transparency in all aspects of who we are. Overthinking is almost shutting off the heart, getting too much in the head, and then it's like, well, should I say this? Should I say that? And then what you end up doing is creating a block. Because you're not being transparent, because you're not actually sharing what you're thinking, you're sharing what you think the other person wants to hear. And
Exactly.
that's the difference.
Yes. And that happened in our cycle a bit,
Yes.
where it's like, oh, is this what she wants to hear? Is this what she's looking for? Until we reached a point where it's like, don't tell me what you think I need. Tell me what you're feeling. Tell me what you're experiencing. Tell me what you desire to share. And then allow me to join in on the journey.
Right.
Right? Because if you're just telling me what you think I want to hear, then you're projecting onto me what you believe I'm experiencing. But I haven't shared with you You haven't opened the gateway yet for me to share with you my experience.
Right.
So not only have you closed the door to my sharing of my experience, because you've already created in your mind what my experience is, and then you're telling me my experience, but now you're keeping me from understanding your experience. So now communication is shut off. That's not communicating. That's not even starting communicating. So we can't even over communicate at that point because communication hasn't started. It's not a two-way exchange.
Right.
And that is communication. There's a sharing that happens in communication. And as we've established, words are a small part of that. There is body language. There's also energy that goes along with communicating. And when you are in a deep conversation, like you really are connected in a conversation, you'll notice like you lean in, you settle in, time suddenly starts to go away, and you're like, what just happened? How did an hour and a half just go by? It seems like 10 minutes. And that's because there's like this energy that starts flowing along with the words, and the words almost don't matter anymore because you start to feel the flow that's happening. And that's when you know you're in a deep, intimate conversation and you're truly sharing with one another. And in partnerships, that's the sweet spot. That's when vulnerability, transparency, intimacy, all of those things really begin to occur. And in those moments when you were overthinking, we weren't heart to heart. We weren't sharing on that level. You were still in that phase of how do I meet her expectation? But I didn't have an expectation. I had a desire to truly share.
Yeah, exactly. And it's so much of what we've been taught in society is like, hey, this is what a good ideal relationship looks like. And it's always the external of it, not the internal of it. And so with someone who didn't have a lot of relationship experience, it was, and then obviously didn't have that type of experience in terms of communication growing up. And really, thinking about it out loud right now, the main communication I had every day was schooling. So it was, testing. It was reciting back, sharing what the teacher wanted to hear, so I could get a good grade.
And when you did question, you were told not to question.
Right. Yeah. And then it was some at some level sharing an illusion of being, this ideal, student. So I think it was unintentionally a natural move for me to want to be this like ideal partner, coming from a great, loving place, but not knowing how to actually be the ideal partner. Recognizing that ideal is a relative term that's not even a thing anyways, because as you said, you didn't have an expectation. But that's a rare thing. And I appreciate that very much. Prior to you, I don't know if I'd ever been in any type of relationship where there wasn't an expectation. Because releasing expectation to me is when you are able to do that, you have an understanding of a higher level of love. You have a deeper connection to unconditional love. And so, as much as I've been very fortunate to have many, many loving, loving people in my life, and again, it's nothing to detract from any experience or any relationship of any sorts in any type of my life. But you were definitely the first person in my life that I had experienced that level of conscious awareness of love at its very core. And so to some degree, I didn't know how to respond to that.
I don't know what to do with my hands.
Yes. Yeah, what do I? So I think that was to some level as well. It's like, what do you mean you don't have an expectation? I don't, like, that doesn't compute. Like, what does that mean? And that's because expectation isn't, you're approaching me not from your head, you're approaching me from your heart. And I couldn't meet you where you're at until I started approaching you from my heart.
And the key was, we discussed that.
Yeah.
We actually did. Because it was different in many ways. I could feel you desired me to tell you what I wanted.
Yeah.
You're like, just tell me what you want. And I'm like, I want you to do what you desire. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to put limits on you. What do you desire? And let's build this together. And so every step was a co-creation of what we desired to do together. And if it came up against a boundary that I had, then we talked about that. And we did talk a little bit about creating boundaries, personal boundaries and guiding principles, and then coming together and building those together so that we clearly communicated, this is how I function as my own personal individual. This is how you function as your own personal individual. We choose every moment to be together. And by choosing to be together, this is how we function as a unit. And these are our boundaries and guiding principles together. We communicate those. And so we're very clear on that. And so as we're co-creating our life in every present moment together, then if we push up against a boundary, or we're not living up to the principles that we've set for our life together, then we can talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
And that helps us really set the tone. So it's not like we're just free for all, yay!
Yeah.
We do still have parameters that we live within together, so that we're not just free for all.
Right. Right. I mean, it's in many ways, it's like a really good chef, right? There's a certain recipe, but sometimes it's not about the exact measurements. You know, there's certain things that go into it, but it's, hey, depending on how I'm feeling that day and what the flow is, it's just a little bit like, hey, there's an idea of what the result could be. And there's certain ingredients that need to come together in order to create that. But in the end, if you don't measure it exactly, the exact amount, you're just kind of going by your heart, by your feel, like, oh yeah, this feels right. And you taste it a little bit and you're like, oh, okay, yeah, we're getting closer. And it provides that framework. But in the end, then you create this great meal that you can enjoy. And that's kind of like what it has been, I would say, in many ways, how we approach our practices in that way.
Yeah.
And so it becomes enjoyable through the process, because we're cooking together, we're sharing, we're tasting together, we're experiencing it, and then we still get to enjoy the result together, but know that there's many more things that we can cook together too.
Yeah.
We're not just stuck to one recipe for the rest of our lives,
Yeah, that would be boring,
it would
actually.
Be. Yeah.
And that's not what we're about.
Yeah.
Now, we do get asked, do you guys ever fight?
No, we never fight.
Do you want to answer that one? Do we ever fight?
Gosh, I think coming up on 8 years, and I could probably count the amount of fights on one hand. I think it's definitely less than five.
Yeah.
So maybe two or three at the most.
And it would be, if you ask me, is it a fight or a disagreement?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess that's a really good clarification question when we're talking about effective communication, right?
Mm-hmm.
Disagreements, and even then, I think there's even another level. There's another point of view.
Yeah.
That doesn't have to be a disagreement. It can just be a different point of view. Agree to disagree. Right? Yes, we're continuing our Ron Burgundy. So yeah, it's and I think there's definitely I really like what you just said is differentiating, okay, fight, disagreement, and different point of view. Those are three different things, but it's really easy to mix them all into one. And then, or hey, if you have a different point of view, that could become a disagreement, which then could become a fight, and then it just kind of snowballs.
And
A lot of
label
people
it and
struggle
make
with
it
that.
significant. Oh my gosh, I'm gonna label this and it's so significant. And now we're just gonna, that'll cause a separation. And yeah.
And it's really easy because a lot of people put their identity into their point of view. And so when you do get into a disagreement and then into a fight, it's not about the thing or the view. It becomes about the individual and the person. So someone's actually attempting to, it's almost like they're attempting to fight for their life. It's like a survival mechanism in many ways. And then people will lash out. And then things like what we naturally have, which is respect for each other, love for each other, the desire to listen to some to each other and to hold space for one another. Those things that we deeply desire to embed in the very essence of our relationship, if we're so caught up into fight or flight, well, all that's going to be gone out the window. And so when we can release our identity from that and recognize that, our point of view, our argument, or even a fight is nowhere near as important as the relationship that we share, as the connection that we have from our hearts, or the respect that we both have for each other. I mean, to me, they're not even the same playing field. And so there's no way that I would in any way desire to drop my respect for you in any way or disrespect you in any way just to prove a point. It just doesn't even, it doesn't even, now that does not compute. That does not make sense. Because when you're here, that's not even an option.
Agreed.
Here meaning heart for those who are listening.
Yes, pointing to our hearts. And so, yes, we have had what I would frame as disagreements. We are not always aligned and agree, but we're never disrespectful in our disagreements. So, when we don't agree on something and we find ourselves like our little egos will creep in there and say, wait a second, but he's not hearing my point of view. We do take the time to, you'll catch me if that's happening, and you'll go very calmly, wait a second, while I understand what you're saying. Can you just take a moment to hear what I'm saying? Or we have ways that we have predetermined in those heightened moments that we will either help each other if we're catching each other, or if we catch ourselves, that we'll say, I just need to take a moment. So we effectively communicate with one another. And we've created those little safety mechanisms so that, as you said, a disagreement doesn't escalate into a fight because there's no reason to take it there. Now, if it ever did, it doesn't mean that that's the end of everything, right? It doesn't have to keep progressing. But why not de-escalate before it ever gets there using our ability to read body cues. So if I were to notice that you're starting to clench up because you're getting frustrated or by what I'm saying, or there's something else going on, then that's the perfect time to use those little predetermined things. Pineapple, safe word, whatever it takes, right? Find a way to get in there and either make us laugh so that it breaks the tension. Because if you're in the middle of a disagreement and somebody yells the word pineapple, it's really hard to like focus on what you were even disagreeing about, and then you can come at it from a different perspective. And we do that kind of stuff all the time.
Pattern interrupt. Absolutely.
And it sounds so silly,
Yeah.
but it actually works.
Yeah. Well, as you always say, I mean, sometimes we take life too seriously.
Way too seriously.
And in the end, most of the fights that people have, or the disagreements, or even the different point of views, like, it's not permanent.
No.
A vast majority of those are fleeting. They're
Yes.
constantly in flux, they're moving, they're shifting. And so most people don't remember the fight that they had last week, or or the disagreement that they had. Maybe if it's a really big fight on something very, very important, maybe that might stick with them someone for a little bit. I do recognize that, and I don't want to diminish anyone's experience of what they're feeling and any disagreements they may have had. But at the same time, I'm thinking about the two or three, I can't even tell you what fights we had. I just know that, well, I don't remember what they were about. And so clearly they weren't that important. And most of the time, that's, it may feel like the most important thing in the world right now, but the reality is that it's not. The only real thing that's the most important thing in this world right now is the connection that we share. Because my goal, I assume that your goal is, but is that is perpetual. That is never not in motion. That is us staying together. And so, with that being the goal, then those other things can just kind of, they don't hold as much importance as the importance that us being together is. And so, why would I do something or, create a big deal out of something that could even potentially create that option? It just doesn't even, again, it's like none of that. Yeah, it just doesn't even, I can't even, there's not even a word for it, to be honest, because it's like, it's just silly to even think that that would be, because we've built such a strong foundation in who we are individually and as a couple, that it's like, well, none of those could even do that in the first place. But I love what we share so much that it doesn't even make sense to escalate anything.
And as we were saying, even before this podcast, we were discussing communication within a team structure,
Right.
and we were discussing how to word something. And it came up, it's not what you have to communicate. Any message can be effectively communicated. It's how you communicate it. Because most people can handle anything. In all honesty, we are by nature open to feedback. It isn't that we can't receive feedback, it is how feedback is relayed to us that can trigger us and make us reciprocate in a way that can trigger a misalignment or a disagreement or even a fight. And so, in a relationship, business type things aside, in a relationship, if you need to have a sit down and tell your partner something that you're like, oh, how do I convey something about finances, which I know is a big thing in partnerships. Been there, done that. Or anything along that line when it comes to children, or you name it, there are lots of things that can create tension in a partnership. And I know in our partnership, it was, how do we bring our lives together? Very different lives. We came from very different backgrounds. How do we start to bring those together in a way that would feel aligned for both of us? And so there had to be feedback based on observations that we were making between both of our lives, things that we had blind eyes to before we started coming together. And in order to do that, we had to be willing to not just come at it and go, hey, Amber, did you know that you did this and it sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's going to trigger me.
Or approach it from like, I gotcha. You
Yeah.
know, like,
Yeah, the I got you. Look at
that.
you. You're not great at everything kind of
Exactly.
mentality. Because we're not in it to be one up on each other. But sometimes in partnerships, that can happen where it's like, oh, I need to be better than you somehow.
I told you. Or
Yeah.
see,
Yeah.
you
See,
know, those.
I was right.
Yeah,
I was right.
exactly.
And we don't do that. Instead, there's an effective way to still communicate the same information, but do it in a way that I want to share this with you because I desire to help you find the best approach for you and for all involved. I desire to build you up and empower you. And if this doesn't help you, I'm okay. I'm not doing it to force you to change. I'm doing it to bring it into your awareness so you can make a choice. If you choose to do nothing with it, okay. But I wouldn't be a loving partner if I didn't bring it forward so you can make a choice on what you desire to do. Now, if it's crossing my boundary, then I have to inform you that it's also crossing my boundary. And so I'm going to have to make a choice based on that. And we had those discussions a few times. And we came to a common agreement around boundary decisions and what we would do. And we created action plans, understanding that behaviors don't change overnight.
And I feel like that's so important to lay that foundation because when we get triggered, it's a lot of the times it's I would offer maybe all the time it's not expected. You know, we might say something and we may if you say something and you trigger me, like I may not even know that I would have been triggered by that. And it's not fair of me to put that on you. And so I feel like having those boundaries and laying that foundation down for the communication was important because it helped us understand that whatever trigger we're having is not the other person's responsibility. It's our responsibility. It's our own responsibility because we're allowing something outside of ourselves to trigger something within ourselves. Now, the responsibility then, like if I'm triggered by something you say, my responsibility is to effectively communicate what is occurring. Allowing, saying, hey, you know, I feel a little triggered right now, or hey, that did not feel good, or I didn't like the way you said that. Let me step away for a moment, or let me pause, let me process this. There's so many different approaches that you can do that we've talked about, or that someone may want to talk about with their partner on the best way for them, because I feel like there's no right way to do it. But yeah, just and then you like for me, it's hey, I need just give me a moment. I need to process this. You lovingly hold space, and then I can understand. Well, hey, is this something that I was aware of? Is this something we've talked about before? You know, if it's something I'm not aware of, then I can be like, wow, you know, hey, thanks for bringing that forward. I'd like to share this with you and what's going on because I had no idea this was here. Is this something you could actually help me with moving forward? So if something, some whether it's you or someone else says this again. I'm not letting that determine how I react. I would then hear it and I can choose how I respond. I'm not letting something outside of me control or determine how I choose to live in this world, which again is part of our guiding principles and personal boundaries, right? So, but if it is something we have talked about it, then it's not like, you know, why would you do that again? Or, you know, back right, you know, throwing it right back at you. That's throwing fire on the fire, right? It just doesn't make sense. So again, like, hey, give me a moment to process this. You know, hey, love, do you remember like when we talked about this? You know, is there another way in the future we might be able to have a similar discussion, but maybe you can present it in a different way? At least until I'm able to effectively get through whatever this is. I don't know why it's triggering me or hey, can you help me? You know, that becomes a team. It's not an island. It's not one thing. It's not only child syndrome. It's we're working as a team together. We're you know, tackling this, we're making it happen, and we're approaching this saying, you know, it's a united front. And that's really what it's all about being a partnership, is being on the same page.
Yes. And being willing to say, hey, can you help me with this?
Yeah.
And when either of us say that, then the next question immediately is, how can I best help you? Because it's not like I just say, yes, I can help you with that. And then I presume to know how I can help you. Me to the rescue.
Yes.
It is, yes, I am more than willing to help you. How do you feel I can help you?
Yeah.
Because you're being vulnerable enough to ask me for help.
Mm-hmm.
That is a very loving place to come at it from. But now what I need to do is seek to understand the type of help that you're asking for and not just presume that I know. So that goes into effective communication as well. I need to understand. Seeking to understand is such a huge part of this, because when we go based on what we think we know, which is how this whole conversation here started, right? You projected that you thought you knew, which stopped the whole communication and conversation flow between us.
Mm-hmm.
But the same would be true if I just presumed I would know what help you need.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't receive help the way that I would give help. And if I truly desire to be helpful, I need to help you the way that you receive help, not the way that I would just inherently give help, because maybe that wouldn't be helpful for you.
Yeah.
And if I really want to be helpful, my ego needs to go to the side, not killed off,
mm-hmm.
just to the side, so that I can really be there for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so we talk about it. What would be the most beneficial? How do you need me to be there to support you as you grow in this space? And we establish those parameters. And then sometimes that doesn't work. Sometimes what you or I feel would help us in breaking up habit patterns or behavior patterns, it doesn't work, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Seems like it's a good idea. Seems like a great idea at the time. Yeah. And then we implement it and it's like, well, that didn't work.
Yes.
So we don't beat each other up when it doesn't work.
Yeah.
That's another key part of it too, going back to that gotcha. Mm-hmm. Well, you said this is what you needed. Again, we're not in a competition. At the time, it's exactly what we felt would help. Upon implementing it, it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
That's what trial and error does. Now we know it didn't work, and that's fine. So we do something else. But then we communicate about that. All right, what about that wasn't effective?
Yeah.
What did we learn together? Like, generally, I learned something along the process too. Being in a partnership allows us both to learn from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as we're willing to do that and to consistently discuss it, then we are able to grow together through the whole thing. And our goal is to always be together. Should that ever happen, and we've talked about this too, and I think it's equally as important that couples talk about it.
That's a good point.
Should there ever be a time when you or I or either one of us choose that this is not a fit anymore, there will never be a regret
mm-hmm.
about us being together.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've learned so much from one another that it has been an amazing journey, and I will always love you and cherish every moment that we've had.
Right. Doesn't mean it would be easy to let someone go, and we've talked about that, just so that it's easy. It's one thing to say, oh, well, you know, if you cared about them, you know, the person, how could you just let them go? Or how could you be okay with that? Mm-hmm. And I'd like to reiterate, because we have had these discussions, and both of us do share, like, clearly if there was a reason why, we would of course respect and honor the other individual for their choice and love them no matter what. Wouldn't make it easy. It wouldn't make the pain go away. It wouldn't make it sad or not sad, and so it's okay to have those feelings and to be, it's not mutually exclusive. Like, we
Right.
can, it's there when love is the foundation and that the true care is at the other person, however the role that we play in that person's life is to be the greatest version of the grandest vision of who they are. Well, then again, it's put that ego to the side. If for some reason I'm me being your romantic partner does not fit that in that moment, then it's not about me, as sad as I would be. It's about seeing you. And I wouldn't be able to truly see you if I viewed it as only from my perspective and what I want.
And likewise, my only desire for you is your happiness. Always happy.
Happy.
And if there ever came a time where your happiness resided somewhere else, then yes, it would be painful. But I would not be the one to stand in the way of you being happy. I would navigate and communicate, and we would be on the same page through it. But if through the love that we share, my only desire would be to help you navigate into that happiness. And that is the unconditional love connection that we have. But in this time, in this moment, what makes us overfilled with joy and love and bliss is one another. And as long as we communicate with each other on all levels of communication, then it keeps that channel open. But we're not going to pretend like, okay, it may never happen. We know what we would do should it happen. So now we can put that to bed. Let's not pretend it isn't a potentiality, but now we have a plan for it. And we can tuck that away and we can stay connected to the present and what we need to do to keep our relationship connected, deepened, and enhanced so that we don't have to worry about that ever coming into a reality. So, for partnerships that are navigating through challenging times and difficult communications, what is one piece of advice that you would give them right now to really take a pause and consider?
It's a really tough one because, there's so many reasons why that could be occurring. And again, I don't desire to presume that I know or understand exactly what they're flowing through. But honestly, I just feel everything you just said really is. If you are navigating through a difficult time in a partnership, maybe just taking that time to understand what is the most important thing. Is it the disagreement? Is it the fight? Is it the difference in point of view? Or is it the actual love for the individual? Is it the desire to see that person flourish regardless? And just, if both individuals can view from that perspective and focus on the love, and things still don't align, okay, then love each other enough to assist each other in moving forward. It doesn't have to be a bad thing. It can be amicable, it can be loving, it can be caring. It can be a beautiful experience if it is allowed to be one. But if there is a struggle and there is opportunity, like the love is there and it's and the desire to be together is still strong, then recognize the priority. Because if the love is there, that is the priority. The rest of it can be dealt with, that can be talked through. It could be understood, it could be connected, it could be a stepping stone for a more beautiful experience together, to dive into a sense of intimacy and understanding at a level that maybe, whether you've been together for a year or 50 years, it doesn't matter. It could be that beautiful opportunity to grow together as a couple and dive deeper in together.
It's beautiful. So centering into that heart and truly reflecting on all of that beautiful information you just shared.
You got right back at you, my love.
Thank you for being willing to be vulnerable and transparent and
Course.
share our flow.
Thank you.
So,
Yeah, it's I feel honored that I get the chance to speak at this capacity, to talk about love, to be in a space of gratitude and abundance through love, because that's what I get to experience every single day with you. I feel like it would be a disservice not to share it, because others, my only desire is that every other person gets to feel love the way that you love me. What it feels to be loved by you, I hope everyone gets that experience. That would be my one wish, because it is beyond special.
I have the same wish, not necessarily that they feel what it's like to be loved by me, but that they feel the sense of what it feels like to be just unconditionally loved within their partnerships, within their friendships, within their lifetimes, because it's possible. If nothing else, I pray that people watch this, they feel what we feel between us, and they recognize that it isn't only in a storybook or like this isn't fairy tale life. This actually is possible, but it takes effort. It isn't something that, like, there's this spark that happens and suddenly it's there.
Yeah, it's not passive.
It's not a passive action at all. It takes focus and conscious awareness and commitment and choice every moment and every day. But if we're willing and we choose it in every moment and every day, and we're transparent and vulnerable and we communicate, 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 that feeling, that unconditional love is just there. So.
Thank you. In the spirit of effective communication, that's what I was attempting to communicate. You just said it better per usual. So thank you. I love you, sweetheart.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Heart Leader Podcast, where our hearts and our minds align. Don't forget to hop on over to the Heart Leader Toolbox, where you can get this month's free tool. It is the Effective Communication Workbook. And along with this amazing workbook, we actually have a course that's available. So if you're looking to go a little bit deeper, you find the workbook highly valuable, and you just want to take it to the next level, you'll also be able to find a course available, and the link will also be under this video. So check it all out. And we have a couple of spaces available for amazing heart leaders to join our podcast through the rest of this year. Only a couple though, so if you know of a great heart leader in your area, hop on over to sweetvera.org, check out the podcast page, and submit them to be a guest on our podcast. Until next time, I'm your host, Amber. This is co-host, Austin, and we look forward to seeing you in the Sweet Vera community.